I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Got a packed show, but it is Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Let's go back to the phones as we talk about John Wall being shipped to Houston for Russell Westbrook.
I don't know who's up. Coach Dave, line one. Coach Dave, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Good morning. All right.
All right, yeah, man. I think, you know, the city is a little hurt behind losing John. He did so much for the city. Me personally, I met John in 2010, his rookie season when he got here, through a mutual friend that was doing security. And I coach, middle school and high school boys basketball. And back then, my boys, we had a championship game over at Lucky Strike. And John came over, no problem. Signed autographs, signed our shirts, took pictures, asked me whatever I need, let them know, sent their shoes. I mean, he did. I mean, not only, you know, he did stuff for, you know, the city, the homeless, but he just did stuff for me personally, offered me season tickets to come to the game. I just never met someone with a heart like the heart John Wall had outside of basketball.
Well, and I think that's why the city loves him, to be honest with you. And I think that's why people are hurt right now and they're a little bit upset because it's more of a personal thing than it is a basketball thing.
Yeah, he definitely had a close relationship with the city. I mean, he had a high-profile relationship with a girl who sadly passed away from cancer a few years back where, you know, he was bringing her out the games. He was, you know, getting her gear and spending time with her. And you could tell it affected him when she passed. I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. And you know, look, the NBA is a business. These guys, they get traded all the time. Now, guys of his stature and Westbrook's stature, they don't move a lot, but it's just a part of the business. He'll be missed.
But again, Cakes, this goes beyond the personal side of John. The professional side of John didn't want to be here anymore because of some of the things that the new GM had said, especially when he said this is Bradley Beal's team, because they didn't know if they could count on John after the injury. And then Tommy Shepard had those negative things to say about John with the gang signs. Okay,
no doubt the relationship had soured.
Yeah, he didn't want to be here anymore.
The organization.
I think fans have to realize, look, if John doesn't want to be here, let's ship him off.
Do you really want him here if he's holding a grudge against whoever in the organization and doesn't want to be
and
here?
And Bradley knew it.
Because that's going to come through. It's going to come through in the way he plays.
And like you guys said, Bradley was probably consulted, maybe 100%. Definitely consulted.
100%.
So if Bradley knows John doesn't want to be here and he doesn't want to play with him, why would the fans want
him? This is also a move to try to re-sign Bradley Beal when he becomes a free agent.
Correct.
It's all about that.
Yeah, I mean, they can't afford to let him sign, you know, with Denver or Brooklyn.
Because if he goes somewhere else in 2 years, you know, with the Clippers, then it's the point's moot. There's no reason to be excited about this deal.
Right.
The reason you make this deal is to keep Bradley in town.
Yeah. I mean, it's 100%.
I mean, if Bradley leaves in 2 years and Westbrook's deal is up, then what do you have? Then you're straight to the lottery. That's what you have.
Right.
Then you're hoping that Denny Avdia does turn into Luka Doncic.
Well, I think
that's a grasper. I'm just saying that's what
I
you're
said
hoping.
Poor man's
can he
Luka.
Turn into Luka. Can he turn into 30% of Luka?
Look, you guys didn't listen to me. I talked to all of my international scouts, and I told you they were going to draft him.
Yeah, you got guys in Tel Aviv. You got guys all over the place.
Yeah, I told you that.
All right, let's go to line five. Let's go to Zach in Reston. Zach, what's up?
Good morning, boys. Just real quick, I've been an avid listener for 20 years. I would have to say that last segment definitely is a candidate for the Hall of Shame. Real quick, EB, what is your captain?
Right. Hall of Shame on whose end?
The second and third, that's when they should have done, let him score. But go ahead.
The second and three.
Second and three, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Real quick, keeping personalities or politics out of it, a take I have that I'm not even sure that I even agree with, but look, Westbrook plays hard. He has a lot of hard miles on his legs, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's, I know
years.
He's been, and yeah, he's an MVP. He's also kind of been a bonehead player at particular times, but he is a great player. I agree with the trade because it gives the city juice. The city needs the juice. Here's the thing. What if he's also kind of on the verge of sort of breaking down because of how hard he plays? And also with medical science, you know, Wall has not played in basically 2.5 years. He's got fresh legs. What if with, you know, just science getting better, his Achilles is okay. You know, there's just sort of, I'm thinking that maybe this is something we may see, that Westbrook, you know, we may only have a year or two of him.
Of Westbrook, right.
My guess is Westbrook has another 2 to 3 years. I mean, it was just a year ago. Season before last where he averaged a triple-double, right, for his third year in a row.
My guess is
he still has another 2 to 3 years of pretty elite play.
Dude, he averaged 27 last year.
Right.
And that's with James Harden dominating the ball.
Right. This is bigger than just what they're giving them on the court, though. It's bigger than that. It's to change the chemistry up of the team, too. Mm-hmm. It's the mentality. I just think it's an overall upgrade.
Why are people glossing over the fact that John didn't want to be here? How many times do I have to say it today?
Because that could have just been a hurt feelings thing.
How many times do I have to say
you it? You won't say it.
Yeah, but that
I've said it four or five times.
That might have just been a temporary thing where he got his feelings because they were talking publicly about it being Brad's team, about him having a minutes restriction.
But it was a thing.
It was a thing, but it could have been temporary. But it could have been temporary.
And again, let me.
Well, I mean, if they didn't trade him, of course he's going to play. But if he's not happy, if he's disgruntled, why would you want him here?
Yeah, but that changes. I'm unhappy with Drabin Valdez, but I'm still here.
Can I stress this point? What? John Wall should never be unhappy. Because look at what the money that he's making. Right. He should be the happiest dude on the planet.
The rational person who makes, you know, a moderate standard of living says that. But guys who make $45 million, they have got huge egos. They
understood.
They're on another planet when it comes to that.
But when he's behind closed doors, he should be the happiest dude ever. I understand he's a normal – he's a human being. He has issues and problems just like everybody else, even though he's a mega millionaire. But he should always be happy. Every single moment of every single day.
I'm sure he's happy in his personal life. He's not happy that – you know, his boss is saying, this is not your team anymore. It's Bradley's.
Right.
Now, let's go to Rob in D.C., line four. Rob, you're on with the Junkies. What do you think?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, E.B., real quick about that game yesterday, E.B., you know, they have the new analytics in sports now. So they are told not to score certain times at a game. So they wasn't going to score regardless if they had
if their head was in the game, you're right. But how many times have we seen guys score when they shouldn't have or go out of bounds when they shouldn't have?
That's true.
Well,
that's
this
true,
is what Bickle's not saying, Bickle, this is saying, what you're not thinking of. Bickle, you're not thinking about this. Yeah. They had just come out of the 2-minute warning. You're talking about the second and three.
The second and three play with Snell went up the middle.
I guarantee you Harbaugh was telling these guys, look, if they let you score out of the 2-minute warning, don't score the touchdown.
That's right.
Tomlin was telling us.
I'm sorry, Tomlin.
Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, I like the trade. Of course, I like John Wall for what he did for the city, for the community, and everything. We're going to miss that. But you had to make a trade. Anytime you can trade for a Hall of Famer, you have to make that trade. Plus, Westbrook, as I was still saying, is prime. He's a guy that stays in shape. His work ethic is going to be infectious, which means that when he comes to practice, you're going to have to step it up. And when he plays in a game, as a teammate. You're going to have to step it up. This guy's going, he's going to be demanding without even saying a word just by the way he plays. And so he's getting older, so I think his game was toned down just a tad, because as you get older, you change your game. So if he becomes just a little bit more of a true point guard, it's just going to make him better and make the Wizards better. And also, they have to still improve and make at least another one or two additions if they really want to compete, because this just one move just is not going to carry them to the next level. So I would say still look to get and still look to get better and make, you know, another major move. And I think, you know, they definitely are heading in the right direction. Okay, thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
All right.
It's not a move that's going to get them a championship. It's mm-hmm. just a move to make them relevant and to appeal to Brad and to shake it up and to see where you got, you know, go from there. See what you got. It's just something different. They were going nowhere with the same group. Let's be honest.
Jason, this guy called last week. He said, I can't tell you who I am, but believe me, you know, think of me when this happens or something like that. He said, this was like 10 days ago. He said, the deal's already done. They're mm-hmm. just waiting to announce it. And he said the reason why Wall's pissed off is that he's mad at Ted because Wall has this family foundation and Ted's never supported it and they had a falling out over it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said an assistant coach told him that the deal was done. And then 7 days later or whatever it
is. So the deal was done a week ago, week and a half ago.
That's what this guy said, yeah.
Meanwhile, we have Coach Brooks on. Every time Scotty's on, he's talking about how great it's going to be with John. And
right.
Every time we have these guys on.
That's why you can't believe anything.
Right.
Yeah. Well, until it actually happens. Same thing with Rizzo.
Same exact thing. I know they've given up on Carter Kieboom. I know that. But that's all right.
Although
when they signed Chris Bryant.
I believe Chris Bryant signed some sort of deal or tender.
I saw that.
They do.
I know.
All right, coming up next, we've got a former NBA scout. Actually, he was a scout with the Wizards. Brian Orringer is going to join us. We'll get his take on the deal, what it means for the Wizards on the court with the addition of Russell Westbrook. That's next here on the Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Been talking about the John Wall trade to the Houston Rockets for Russell Westbrook. We'll talk to Brian Orringer, a former Wizards scout, shortly about that. Chris Miller is going to join us coming up at 8:20 from NBC Sports Washington. He's covered John for years, built a great relationship with John. It'll be interesting to get his take. But he came on the show when the rumors first came out, and he said, where there's smoke, there's fire. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, John Wall is no longer a member of the Wizards after, of course, being the number one pick mm-hmm. in 2010, leading to the playoffs, making the All-Star team several times. But I don't know if we have Brian on the line. I read his article about why the deal made sense, and I guess we do have Brian on with us. Brian Orringer's with us. You can follow him on Twitter, @ScoutWithBrian. Brian, I saw that you mentioned that Scott Brooks, just in its simple, in when it comes down to coaching, Scott Brooks has coached so many more games with Russell Westbrook. They have a great relationship. And actually, Scott Brooks, even though he's been here for 4 years, hasn't coached John Wall that much.
Yeah, that's his guy at the end of the day. You know, I think there's something just to be said for that, that obviously John meant a lot to D.C. and played a lot of games in D.C., but Russell Westbrook and Scott Brooks have been kind of
synonymous. He was with him for, you know, the very beginning of his basketball career and really built him up as a player. And I think just has a really, really high comfort level with Russ and, you know, really believes in him, especially as a leader and just guy that can win alongside Bradley Beal.
We saw the on-court stuff, and I know you can break it down, like the X's and O's, better than most people. But can you give us, when you were around the guys, sort of the dynamic off the court, you know, horsing around between John and Brad and between the other guys? You know, what was all that everybody eats stuff that kind of came out when John was out, that sort of thing? What was the dynamic sort of off the court like?
Yeah, you know, John and Brad definitely weren't you know, they weren't best friends. They weren't guys that hung out together all the time off the court. But I think a lot of that stuff was overblown at the same time. You know, their games, both of them were young players trying to be alpha dogs for the franchise, trying to really be the guy. So, you know, there's some natural friction at times. And on the court, I think they kind of had a tendency to not get along sometimes, especially in terms of, like, who's going to take the last shot, who's going to be the guy down the stretch. But, you know, overall, they got along fine. They were, you know, on the court, in the locker room, they got along fine. Again, just not the best of friends in the world, kind of off the court, I would say.
Was this a situation, in your opinion, where it just came to a boiling, it came to a boiling point where John wasn't happy here with some of the things that Tommy Shepard had said, and then we're hearing some things that Ted was involved with in terms of John's charities? Obviously, Russell Westbrook wasn't happy in Houston. He made that clear. So it was a situation where you had two guys that just aren't happy anymore in their cities. Let's just swap it.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's why it really, you know, makes sense to me. I think it's, like you said, two guys who were disgruntled, but overall are pretty similar players. You know, they're probably the two most similar to each other. If you're going to name one guy who plays the most like Russell Westbrook, it's probably John Wall. You know, I think both guys could really use a change of scenery. Like you said, you know, John didn't appear to deal all that well with being the second guy now, with not being, you know, his franchise. And I think Ted obviously grew a little tired of some of the extracurricular stuff that was coming out. And, you know, that's why it happens. But I think ultimately it could be good for both guys to get a fresh start and, you know, have a chance to lead, you know, teams to the playoffs now.
All right, let's talk about fit on the court as we talk to Brian Orange, your former Wizards scout. You can follow him on Twitter at Scout with Brian. You point out that Russell Westbrook, even though a lot of people believe he's a ball hog, actually can defer to his teammates, maybe even better than John Wall. His assist numbers went down last year, but that's because he's in, you know, playing alongside James Harden. He's been a double digits assist guy many times in his career. How do you see his fit with Bradley Beal?
Yeah, I think he fits pretty well. You know, I think obviously he got to learn playing last season with James in particular, that he's not the number one guy anymore. You know, he's not the guy who the entire offense is going to be designed around. And I think overall he handled that pretty well, like you said. But yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to call a guy a ball hog that's had, you know, four straight over 10 assist seasons before the last one. You know, overall, I think he's a really just winning player. I think, like I said, he's got a lot in common with John, but just probably has done more winning over his career and understands more what it takes to get to the next level, you know, especially in the playoffs. So I think, you know, Brad is going to appreciate his maniacal intensity. That's the way Russ plays and always has played, and just is absolutely nonstop motor on the court. You know, and like we said, has more familiarity with Scott Brooks and understands probably more what he wants from a leadership perspective as well.
Who benefits from Russell Westbrook the most on the Wizards? Theoretically, Bertans off the ball with Wall would have been a great fit, but you just didn't know how he's going to return healthy. I got to believe the way that Westbrook attacks the basket, kicking it out to a guy like Bertans, he's really going to benefit.
Yeah, you'd think, you know, with how well Bertans shot the ball last season, you know, to now, like you said, thought he was going to John, but now to have Russ come in, those are two guys that are elite in terms of just creating threes, creating corner threes, playing with incredible pace. So, yeah, Bertans is up there. I think Rui maybe could benefit even just from some of you know, the stories of being around Kevin Durant, being around Harden, obviously. You know, he's a young player who obviously the team really needs to kind of mature into that third star and be a, you know, all-star type player down the road. So he's another guy I think really could benefit from, you know, Russ's leadership on and off the court.
Brian, let's from what you know about Scotty and those players, let's just say the Wiz are down two. They're playing Toronto. They're down two. 20 seconds left. Scotty calls a timeout. What kind of play is he going to draw up? Is Russell going to be the guy to go to, or is Bradley going to be the guy to go to in that situation?
It better be Bradley now, you know. I think that's, again, the part.
Is Russ going to be okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be perfect, you know. The same way like it would have been with John, I think there'll definitely be some growing pains again, and they're not going to, you know, Russ does have to come to grips with that. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Wizards have made it loud and clear this is Bradley Beal's team now, that he's, you know, the franchise guy. And obviously, you know, John didn't love that messaging, but I think Russ, you know, Russ being 32 now, being traded a few times recently, I think he understands that, you know, he's there more to be a facilitator, to be a leader again, but Brad is going to be usually the guy, I think, taking the last shot.
By the way, how do you think John fits in with James Harden in Houston?
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think, you know, again, it's...
you got two point guards.
Kind of like Russ there, you know, it's they're both guys that will benefit from playing with a ton of floor spacing and at a really fast pace. And, you know, John theoretically allows them to play a pretty similar way to what they played last season. You know, what I think is interesting, too, Houston added, you know, Christian Wood. They signed DeMarcus Cousins. So I think they are, you know, going back to a more traditional team, not doing the super small ball thing that didn't really work, obviously, in the playoffs. But John is a hell of a pick and roll player. He's an amazing passer. So getting to play with a lob guy like Christian Wood will be great for him. You know, playing in Houston is going to be the most spaced floor he's definitely ever had. He never had that kind of spacing in D.C. PJ Tucker, you know, such an incredible corner three-point shooter, and obviously James. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting, and, you know, again, a clean slate for him. Hopefully he does well there.
Does the Wall arrival automatically mean Harden stays there, or is he still, you know, looking for an escape hatch? Because it was 2 weeks ago that it seemed like he was desperate to get to play with Durant and company in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they still have a lot of smoothing over to do with that relationship. You know, I think James probably does still want out and isn't thrilled there, but he just doesn't really have the leverage right now to force his way out. So I think Houston is trying to just kind of put on a happy face and give him a decent squad still and, you know, see if they can finally break through in the playoffs. But I'm sure that'll still be a storyline all season. I think he at least starts the season there and, you know, they try to make it work with him. But obviously the whole league will continue to have their eyes on that and see, you know, if there's any truth to the Brooklyn stuff.
So – in terms of the roster now that you swap those players, okay, so you got obviously Russell and Bradley in the backcourt. You got Rui. You got Thomas Bryant at center. Bertans can shoot it. Who knows about some of these guys that they drafted. But where do you think that stacks up in the East? Obviously, they're not as good as Milwaukee. They're not as good as Miami. They're not as good as Toronto. But do you and in the last couple of years, without John, they were really bad, okay? But where do they stack up with a healthy backcourt with Bradley and Russell compared to some of those other teams? Do you think they're a four, a five, or a six? What do you think?
No, you know, I still personally think they're probably fighting with the, you know, the Orlandos, the Charlottes to just make the playoffs.
Wow.
You know, I think they're still, you know, it still should be a team around the 7-8 seed. You know, they still didn't do a tremendous amount to upgrade the team this offseason. You know, when your prized free agent acquisition is Robin Lopez, you know, when you've got
right.
Overall the East getting so much better and so many upgrades going on with the teams at the top, you know, I think they're scratching for the playoffs. But I will say, you know, it's not insignificant that you go from John, a guy who we were already talking about sitting out back-to-backs and being on load management and minutes restrictions, all these things, to a guy with Russ who, you know, theoretically, again, should be able to be a lot healthier. You know, when you're a team scrapping for the playoffs, if he plays 5-10 more games than John, if he plays 5-10 more minutes per game than John does, that's a big difference. And I think that, as much as anything, could be why, you know, why they made the deal and why they wanted a guy again who's good to go this season and ready to, you know, help them get over the hump. Because if they don't make the playoffs, if they're not in that mix, you know, Bradley Beal still is not going to be a happy camper. And, you know, there's been whispers even about him wanting out at some point. So,
Brian, did you like the selection of Denny? And then what kind of impact can you reasonably expect from him this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, at nine, I think you had to take him, a guy who, you know, a lot of people had top three, top four on the board, and I've heard even the Wizards, I think, had him around that high. So I think he makes sense, especially for a team that, you know, doesn't really have a three, and he's got a chance, at least theoretically, to maybe be the starting three or at least play a massive role at that position. So definitely a talented young player. He's physical. He's, you know, can do a lot of different things on the court. He's high IQ. You know, I'm not sure he has superstar upside, but, you know, again, you don't need that, at least right now with Russ and Brad, and, you know, you develop him more for down the road. But I think he's certainly a fine complementary piece, and I do think he was probably the best player on the board at number nine. And, you know, certainly the cultural fit and having another guy who's got an entire country behind him is pretty cool, you know, like the same way Rui has all of Japan behind him. I think Denny and the Israel thing obviously will be pretty cool to see play out in D.C.
You know, did you actually, you know, just going back to the John move, did you actually say, like, if you were on record, like, if you were the GM, would you have pulled the trigger on the deal?
Because
you seem lukewarm on it. You seem like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, but he liked John, personally.
Right. Okay, I get
it. Right. No, I mean, I think, you know, it's tough to see. It's surreal. You know, we never thought we'd get to this day, right, of John Wall being, you know, he's the franchise player. He's been there for 10 years. So I definitely understand, you know, why DC's struggling with it, why it hits pretty hard. I mean, John Wall was a beloved figure here, you know, but like I said, I mean, I think ultimately it's playoffs or bust this season. I think they're, you know, it'd be an absolute massive failure if they can't get a Bradley Beal team to the playoffs in the East this season. So I think that absolutely was the mission and what Ted expected of Tommy and told him he needed to do. And, you know, when you had John coming out being a bit of a distraction again and not being thrilled about being the second guy and, you know, the honesty about that it's not his team anymore, you know, I think, like I said, he just needed a change of scenery. And again, you get the opportunity to swap him out for a pretty similar player in Westbrook, but again, a guy who just is an unbelievable competitor and just nonstop motor, you know, and again, healthier this season. So I think that's a huge factor and why I think, you know, they certainly expect Russ can be pretty healthy for them and help them be in that mix for, you know, 6, 7, 8 seed.
Brian, got to run. Where can people follow you?
Yeah, just Scout with Brian. Brian with a Y on Twitter, YouTube, the podcast. Type in Scout with Brian and you'll find me.
Right, thanks, I got to say, he's a pretty interesting follow, especially during games. Like, I don't know, how often were you doing that bit where you were just like doing sort of your own play-by-play? Was that only just down the stretch there of the playoffs?
No, I think it was once or twice a week, you know, during the season. I was doing that pretty consistently on Hot Mic. So
yeah, it's actually pretty interesting because, you know, he's like calling the game sort of from a coach's perspective. You know, there's no color commentary by any stretch. It's just X's and O's stuff. It's actually pretty interesting. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Brian, appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
It's interesting that he said he still thinks that they're fighting for the playoffs with Westbrook.
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily think it makes them markedly better because he thinks they're so similar.
Right. And he makes a great point about the fact that they really didn't add anything in free agency besides Lopez. And again, we have to see how these rookies work out. But if they're scratching and clawing to be an 8 seed, Bradley ain't going to be happy.
No. So, but the thing is, as he said, the East got better. Look, the Brooklyn Nets were the 7 seed.
That's true. I know.
Last year, they're going to be one of the top teams. assuming that Kyrie and Kevin Durant are healthy. So which teams are going to leapfrog? I mean, the Heat, who are in the finals, they were the 5 seed.
Yeah.
So you had the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics. They're all going to be solid. I mean, maybe the Pacers slide down a little bit.
But that's my point. If they don't make the, if they're not a 5 or 6, like comfortably in the playoffs, and they're scratching to be an 8 seed, and they have to play in the tournament, then, man, Bradley's going to say, I can't work with you. I got to go somewhere else where I'm going to be a 1 or 2.
He wants
seed.
To win a ring at some point.
Yeah.
All right, guys. There's a chill in the air as that cold Washington winter's creeping in. Make sure your residential or commercial heating system's ready to keep you warm all season long by calling the Crop Metcalf 5-star heating experts. Crop Metcalf 5-star technician has the training and know-how to properly fix and maintain your system and catch potential problems before you're left out in the cold. So call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Presented by Window Nation. You're searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. All you have to do is call us at 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the John Wall versus Russell Westbrook deal. We'll connect with Chris Miller, Wizards insider for NBC Sports Washington, coming up at 8:20. So we'll get back into it with Chris Miller. But right now, time for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner. We'll start with the game last night. Actually, it was yesterday afternoon. It was kind of nice having a Wednesday afternoon game.
I thought it was great.
But it was kind of ugly, let's be honest.
It was sloppy.
It was an ugly game.
How many turnovers were there? About 4?
I know this.
They're a lot early. I know
it's,
that.
It's you never like to buy into excuses, but Robert Griffin, after the game, you know, he was confidently saying that they could have won, but they just didn't really have any practice time, which is true. Apparently, the Ravens, in all of this time dealing with COVID, they ended up having basically one walkthrough.
Right.
Well, you could see they couldn't even execute the handoffs. The read option stuff, they were rusty.
Right. They had a bunch of guys go down with, you know, hamstrings and calves. And, you know, obviously RG3 left the game because of the hamstring. But, look, you know, as an NFL player, if you have outbreaks, Goodell doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He's going to make you play. He made the Broncos play with a receiver who hadn't played quarterback since high school.
Well, they need to play. They need the revenue.
Yeah,
and they're
just
not going to bow down to this.
You just got to deal with it, and you can't make excuses.
Yeah, so Robert's big on making excuses. Yeah. I will say this. He did a decent job running the football. Now, his passing was just like we're used to, very inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, I'm sorry, he struggles reading defenses. He
takes a lot
up.
Of sacks. He always took a lot of sacks.
Yeah, well, especially I couldn't believe after he tweaked the hammy early that it was able to loosen up and he was able to play as long as he did. I couldn't believe it.
He had the biggest wrap on it I've ever seen.
That was a huge wrap.
I've never seen a wrap that
and,
big.
You know, I'm biased, but I think Trace is better. He can run the ball just as well. He's not as big, but I think he just makes plays. I think he'll be a better backup. That's just my opinion, and I am biased.
I don't think it's an outrageous opinion because
it's a backup job, so it's irrelevant. If you're a Ravens fan, if you don't have
well, it's
Lamar
not irrelevant
Jackson,
to me as a person.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying if you're a Ravens fan, if you don't have Lamar Jackson in there, you don't have much of a chance to be a playoff team.
But what I'm
team.
Saying is, if Trace was playing the entire game, I think they would have had a better chance to win that game.
Maybe so.
Now, what the Ravens have working for them is their schedule down the stretch. Is so soft and marshmallowy. I mean, they've got the Cowboys, the Jags, the Giants, and the Bengals. I mean, they have to go to the Browns. That's going to be tough on Monday night after the Cowboys game. But they've got a lot of winnable games down the stretch, and they clearly need to win the bulk of them.
They got to win at least 4 out of 5.
I just don't know how that ball was completed, Roethlisberger to James Washington on the third down, when there was 3 guys right around them. Chuck Clark got his arm around, but just a little bit late.
Too.
Man, perfect touch pass.
If that ball is incomplete, they're getting the ball back, and who knows?
Steelers, of course, improved to 11-0. They did suffer a big hit. Bud Dupree, who was the 22nd overall pick in the 2015 draft. He's playing under the franchise tag, making almost $16 million. Suffered a torn ACL, it appears. Oh,
that's big.
That is crushing, too, because, I mean, he was set for a massive payday.
He's just distraught.
With what he's been doing this season. That is terrible news.
He was second on the team with 8 sacks heading into the game after finishing with a career-high 11.5 sacks just a year ago.
It's bad news for him, clearly, but it's good news for the Washington football team. I mean, I hate to look at it that way, but as far as taking him off the field, it's a huge advantage for Washington in the next game. You don't have to face one of their top pass rushers.
Well, it's an advantage, but their offense is still intact.
Understood.
And I would assume they get Connor back, which makes them stronger. They know when they're going to play. There's not – anyway, they don't think that they're going to have any more cancellations. But so, because Roethlisberger said after the game, it's hard to get mentally involved in a game when you don't really know when you're playing.
Yep.
Well, you know when you're going to play Washington.
Speaking of Washington, they made a move – where they have added Taylor Heinicke as their quarantine quarterback.
Yeah, they had made that move a day before, but
They made that, I think, a couple days ago.
He apparently played for Norv and Scott Turner in Minnesota in 2015 and 2016, and then again in Carolina in 2018, where Ron Rivera was the head coach.
Hey, you'd rather have him than a practice squad wideout. Played like in college a few snaps.
So is he going to not even be in the building? Like he's just going to be working out on his own?
Yeah, I think he's going to be separated much
like
Josh McCown
was. Great way to make a few extra checks.
Yeah.
What do you think they're paying him, about $20,000? I mean, he doesn't have to even show up. Just ship him the playbook.
Wasn't Josh McCown pulling in? I think he was making like $12,000 a week as the quarantine quarterback. It's not bad. Take $12,000 a week
to do nothing.
Yeah, go out and lasso the calves on your ranch in Texas. Of course, you're going to do that.
I do know this: when you miss a game for COVID purposes, your paycheck basically gets cut in half for that week. So these guys, they do not want to miss games. They do not want to get put on the COVID list because their paycheck goes.
Yeah.
So they do everything they can to stay negative on these tests. But obviously it happens. It's been happening a lot lately.
This week we spent a little time talking about how Antonio Gibson has worked his way into the Rookie of the Year conversation, the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation. Yesterday, Ron Rivera, very complimentary of Antonio Gibson, and did you hear who he compared him to?
Ooh, the comp. Who's the comp?
Yes. Arian Foster.
Arian Foster, who in 2010 posted more than 2,200 yards and 18 touchdowns. In 2011, he had more than 1,800 total yards and 12 touchdowns. So that's a pretty good comparison.
Well, let's see. So far, we're seeing glimpses. Yeah.
He's getting better.
He's clearly super dynamic with the ball in his hands.
Yep.
I thought that he looked a little strange like before he hits the line of scrimmage, but once he's beyond in space, he's unbelievable. But he seems to be getting better.
And he's getting targeted more in the passing game, which is nice to see. Less for McKissick, more for Gibson.
Right.
That's the way it should be.
Well,
supposedly
like to see that.
The knock, and we talked about it for 10 weeks, has been pass protection. I mean, if he picks that up, he should be a 25-touch-a-game guy.
Yeah, through 11 games, Gibson has nearly 900 total yards to go with the 11 total touchdowns.
I'm gonna throw, if that's the case, he struggles in the pass pro, I'm gonna tell guys like Sprinkle and those donks, hey, you guys have to pick it up a little bit. He struggles in the pass pro, but he's our best offensive player. So we're going to have him out of the field as much as possible. He may be a little shaky with the blocking. That's where you big dummies are going to step in and chip and help him out.
True. But, I mean, it's a numbers game, man. If they're bringing extra guys, you can chip all you want. You got to have the numbers, right? And he's got to be able to do his part.
All I know is Scott Turner should be giving Gibson the ball 20 to 25 times a game, if not more.
Well, he's going to do that against Pittsburgh.
Good.
Don't you worry.
And I know I said it earlier, and you guys are mocking me, but watching that game yesterday, I didn't think, well, both these teams are just going to come in there and just smoke us. I thought, especially coming off short rest for Pittsburgh, I don't know. I feel like we'll be able to compete. Maybe I'm crazy.
We'll see. I knew you were going to say that.
I feel like we'll be able to compete. I mean, they're the favorites.
But that's not the best you've seen. First of all, you already got pummeled by one of those teams.
Correct. Right.
I mean, and again, you were watching a team with a backup quarterback.
Correct.
And another team that, you know, they have got they don't know when they're practicing. They've got COVID.
Well, yeah, but now we're going to be playing them on like 4 days. I don't know.
I think they're going to look a lot better next week.
Well, certainly Tomlin recognized it, and he wasn't happy with just the dub.
Yeah, he said it would look like a JV effort for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to mention is, you know, the NFC is getting trashed, rightfully so. The leader in the clubhouse, 4-7. Mm-hmm. You've got the Giants and Washington both at 4-7. Drabs guy Pete Carroll, though, said, watch out. He said, whoever plays him in the playoffs, they better look out. And he was just hearkening back to the
year. He's just saying it because of what they did.
Yes, that they were able to do it with a 7-9 record. Right. They got a home
game.
They
were better than
in the wild card round, and they won that game 41-36 over the Saints.
Right.
Watch
in what
out
was
for
known
the
as the Beastquake game.
Right.
Well, it's not going to be as intimidating to go play Seattle in Seattle in the playoffs this year.
Right. Yes. But although Seattle is still 5-0. I think there are two teams that are undefeated at home this year. Seattle and obviously Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh, yeah.
All right, coming up next, let's get back into the deal. We just heard from Brian Orringer, former Wizards scout, and how he believes Russell Westbrook fits in. And we were somewhat surprised that he felt like the Wizards might have to claw their way back into the playoffs. What do you think this means to the team? How many more wins do you see a Washington team with Russell Westbrook than John Wall, if you do indeed give them more wins? Are they a legit contender? How high do they move up in the Eastern Conference standings? We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067. Except I forgot, Dave Richards on next.
That's what I wondered. Did you just bump Dave?
We got to talk to Dave.
Yeah, we got to do fantasy football.
We'll take the calls at 820.
Slept on it.
Yeah, you slept on Dave. All right, we'll do Dave Richard, then we'll do Chris Miller, and then we'll bang out your calls.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.